Another Brian Golf Show and another repeat appearance from a friend of mine. This time it's Chris Baker, who is on the PGA Tour. Last time we talked to him is one of my earlier podcasts. You might remember he had just recently received his PGA Tour card after grinding away a good amount of years on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's somewhere around like 9-10 events in on his rookie season on the PGA Tour, and he just so happened to play with Tiger Woods at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. So we obviously talk about that. Played some golf, so you know we got to spend a good amount of time together today just kind of shooting the breeze before we actually started recording. We ended up going into his car and just recording right off my camera mic because it was so windy. That is why it sounds like we are in his car, because we're literally in his car. We also talk about his golf clubs, what he's got in the bag, his thoughts on equipment, and a big piece of equipment, a big investment that he just made, as well as some random things that I've always kind of wanted to know, and I feel like maybe you kind of want to know. All next with Chris Baker.
The Brian Golf Show.
Four!
Presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
That was an excellent shot.
Yeah, real good form.
We could have played anywhere today, and you chose Jack's Beach Golf Club.
I like it. It's a great feel. The layout's fun, and I just enjoy kind of getting away back to kind of how I grew up.
I mean, because like playing at TPC Sawgrass every day, granted you play on tour and you play some big ballparks. You know, we'll talk about the Farmers Insurance Open briefly because you kind of played with the Big Cat and that was a big deal. But I mean, you play great golf courses all the time. Not that this isn't a great golf course, but there's something to be said about coming and like playing something, no pressure, you know, short holes, even though like today was ridiculous. The wind made some of the holes a little stupid.
Well, they redid Jack's Beach. The greens are great. Everything's awesome. It's just nice to kind of get away and do, you know, normal golf, right, as opposed to going to TPC Sawgrass, which it's an amazing spot. I enjoy it and love it, but it's nice to kind of get away and go somewhere where it's just you can kind of, you know, have a push cart and walk around and have fun, and it's great. I enjoy that.
Your push cart has a flat tire on it. Like the man, it's got like a $600 vessel bag and a $20 push cart.
Yeah, but that thing's got stories. It's got an air pump.
It does.
It stays on the cart at all time. I didn't use the air pump, but it's a great push cart.
It's amazing. Well, it's crazy to me that it actually has a flat tire and it has an air pump attached to it at all times. It makes me feel like it was there was a default from the factory that they knew about.
Well, it's got a good story because Steve Wheatcroft gave it to me. He said, I got a push cart. He had to go up in his attic and get this thing out. And I mean, it's straight from, I mean, I don't know how old it is, but it's old. And he used it to get through second stage of Q school. And I used it to get through second stage of Q school. So I'm ready to pass this thing on to somebody that wants to get through second stage of Q school. Be in touch and we'll pass it on.
There you go. I don't even know what brand it is. This is like before Click Gear even had something, I think. But we have to talk about the obvious. All right. So last time you were on the pod, it was one of the first pods, still hanging tough, one of the most listened to pods that I've had. So I don't know if that's just massive marketing on your part, you know, like pushing it out and getting people in there. But actually, most of them were probably because your parents shared it on Facebook.
You know what? Thanks, Mom and Dad.
There's validity to that.
You got to thank them for that, for sure.
For sure. So with that being said, I'm sure this one will be great, and they'll probably hear this one. So what has changed since, you know, you've played X amount of events on the PGA Tour now? I mean, when we talked, you were on your way to the Greenbrier. You had just come into town after securing your PGA Tour card at Vic. So what has changed in 10 events with Chris Baker and life on the PGA Tour?
It's different. The PGA Tour is incredible, and it's where I want to be and where I want to play and compete. But it is also, it's a step up. I mean, it's busier. There's more action around it, but it's all welcomed, and I enjoy it, and I'm learning and getting better. I can't wait to have some good results.
You've done okay. I mean, let's just say, like, you've made money, you know, and we've talked about it earlier while we were somewhat playing good. You played golf, and I just hit the ball all over the place and kind of, like, I just lost golf balls all day. But you were saying how you've been missing cuts by, like, a shot.
It's been very close. I mean, 10 events, I'm not exactly sure the numbers, but, yeah, I've missed several cuts very, very close, narrowly. And I wouldn't say that it's been my sharpest stuff so far. So to be able to be right there and compete and have chances to at least, you know, play weekends, it's been great. And we'll keep working hard and we'll be ready to hopefully get up towards the top of the leaderboard. I've done it a few times. First two rounds, I guess, I've been, you know, right there in the middle of the action. Just haven't had the weekends, unfortunately. But it's a learning experience. Some people learn faster than others, and here we are, and I'm on the PGA Tour, so it's where I need to be to learn and get better and do my best.
You're on the PGA Tour, and you've played with Tiger Woods after X amount of events already on tour. So that all, you know, the tweet that, I don't know if you've got that many anythings in your life, but I mean, it had like thousands and thousands of retweet asking, once you saw the pairings, you're paired with your friend Tyler McCumber, he's right here at Jack's Beach local, and then Tiger Woods, who is the greatest golfer of our generation. And I mean, we grew up, all of us, you know, anybody and everybody recognizes Tiger as, he's the GOAT, right? So you're playing with the GOAT, and you see that, you say, man, like, am I on Punk'd? Like, what is this? First initial reaction.
I was just ecstatic. I was pumped. I couldn't wait. You know, I'm playing the weekend. I was T17 at the time, so I was playing some good golf. And playing with Tiger Woods, the greatest of all time, like you mentioned. It was going to be an awesome opportunity, awesome experience. There was rumors of actually me not getting paired and actually moving out because, you know, the cut's always moving, so there's always movement. And at first I knew I was playing with him, and I was like, okay, great, that's awesome, can't wait. And then someone said, oh, maybe not. And I was disappointed, but I also knew it's rookie year. Like, there's always a chance I can do it again.
Right.
Everything has to kind of line up to be paired and played with Tiger Woods. I mean,
you guys are never going to be paired in the first or second round, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we'll never be. I'll always be paired in my grouping, unless I win. I'll always be paired in my my group of guys, meaning basically the Corn Ferry graduates.
What is, you know, that first tee like? You get to the first tee, Tiger's there, you know, you shake his hand, introduce yourself, hi, I'm Chris Baker, and he's like, I'm Tiger Woods. And mentally you got to be like, well, I know. Right.
He did. He actually introduced himself. No, it was awesome because he was incredible. He was a great person to play golf with. He was super respectful, knowledgeable, obviously, and an incredible golfer. So he was helpful to us being rookies and first-timers, which was very nice of him to do. He doesn't have to do that. So it was cool and an experience I'll never forget.
As far as like playing, you know, you got your boy McCumber. I know you guys are really close. You guys are friends. Is it an added level of comfort? Did it help having a friend already in the group?
Yeah, I think it was for sure. Tyler's awesome and played a lot of golf together. He lives here locally and we've roomed together and travels and stuff like that. So that helps a lot. Being able to share that experience too, it's cool. I mean, Tyler played great. He shot 68 on the day.
Yeah.
Hit it awesome. Did everything right. I wish I would have done the same, but at the same time, like, it's a day I'll never forget. I mean, I'm playing with a good friend, Tyler, and Tiger Woods, the best of all time.
Well, I cried man tears a lot over the weekend. Like, I cried man tears when found out you were playing with Tiger, because for me it was like, wow, this is my friend, and this is he's playing against my favorite golfer of all time, right? Like, the reason I play golf is Tiger Woods. So seeing that, I'm like all pumped. I know they were like happy tears, right? Like, I was so excited. I had to like go by the PGA Tour live thing so I could watch it at work. I was very not productive that day. And then I think after like 9 holes or something, it cut out. And at that point, you know, it's not like you played bad. You know, I think you were somewhere around like 1 over, something along those lines. Maybe you got it back to even. You know, you bogeyed the first, but you came back, made a birdie. So I'm like, all right. But Tiger's just lighting it up. At a certain point, you're like, wow, I'm watching Tiger Woods do what Tiger Woods does.
Yeah, Tiger. I mean, through 8 holes, I guess. I mean, I was thinking, okay, we're shooting 64 here today. He's going to be leading tomorrow. I won't be playing with him tomorrow.
I won't be playing with him tomorrow.
So enjoy this moment now, Chris. Gosh, I was super impressed. I mean, he's the best. Everyone knows he's the best. And it was just cool to see him playing great golf.
But did you learn anything? Like, is there anything to take from a day like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the crowds and just... I mean, Tiger deals with that every single day in his life. And, you know, they're there to support him. They are loud. I mean, that's just when you put that many people on a golf course, it's going to be a distraction at times. But at the same time, like, there's a lot of energy and a lot of positive stuff. You can move and keep yourself going with that. So it was cool to have that experience with that many people watching Tiger. They weren't necessarily watching me.
They were.
No.
I asked,
and they actually laughed.
Yeah.
They didn't laugh. They kind of giggled. I could hear them, you know, kind of joke. But, yeah, no, it was great to just be a part of that.
So not to, like, you know, take it to another level, but also days and moments we'll never forget. On Sunday, Kobe Bryant, the news of Kobe Bryant comes out, and we all know where we were when we found out. Were you on the golf course, or like Tiger? I know Tiger found out from Joey after the round, and you saw his reaction. Did you find out during play?
Yeah, I was on the, gosh, I don't even know what hole I was on, but I was on a green walking off, and I heard the scores mention something that Kobe had just been in a helicopter crash. So my caddy looked it up and, you know, asked more people, and I guess he told me. And it was just a shocking moment. I mean, I think the world, it's one of those things that happens, and you're just like, wow, that can't be true.
Can't be true.
But, yeah, it was just a horrible incident and horrible thing for the sports world. I mean, Kobe Bryant, like, he's the, you know, arguably the best basketball player of our generation.
I was just wondering what it was going to be like out on the actual, like, on the course with people, because keeping it from Tiger's kind of tough, you would think. You just, so many people, you think.
Right, yeah.
I know people were saying, like, do it for Mamba and things like that, and, you know, he's sitting there going, I have no idea why people are doing that. I just thought maybe that's just how it is. But what is, like, phones and all that frowned upon amongst the players and caddies and all that? Like,
yeah,
is there a rule?
I'm not sure the rule. I don't think you're supposed to use your phone. Or maybe advice, or who knows the rules, right?
But right.
I definitely don't think you're allowed to be on your phone while you're on the golf course.
I always wondered that, especially with, like, when news like that hits.
Yeah. I think as most golfers, they probably had heard through the, you know, fans, or, you know, the scores, the walking scores or whatever. But yeah, I think most people were probably still wondering what was going on.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know really until probably after the tournament had ended.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, obviously thoughts of, you know, family are going through people's mind, and it was tragic to hear that his daughter was in the helicopter as well. So
yeah,
absolutely horrific. And I mean, Kobe, what Kobe means to me, like, Mamba mentality, like you mentioned, like, that's, he was something special. And I'd listened to some podcasts that he had done and some stuff he had done since, you know, retiring from basketball, and I think he was on his way to making some huge strides in the world, and just kind of things he could touch and benefit through his, you know, his reach. And I think he was gonna do some great stuff.
What's next? Pebble Beach?
Leaving Sunday for Pebble Beach.
Have you ever played a competitive round at Pebble?
I've never played a round of golf. So, been there one time for, was meeting a friend. He was in U.S. Juniors or something. I've been on the putting green, been on premises. That's about it. Seen the golf course, I guess, on TV. And at one point, I think I played a Tiger Woods game.
Yeah, no, for sure.
On Pebble Beach.
Yeah, you should probably, like, prep, right? You should go play that game, whatever game that was, Tiger Woods 99. That's kind of a golf course. You got to think it's not entirely long. It's probably not as windy as you played today. The greens are small. That's a ball striker's course, isn't it?
No, the Pebble Beach is going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. I've heard everything about it. It's going to be good for me. And, I mean, I think every golfer should think that every golf course is good for them, but Pebble would be great. And then the two other courses, I believe it's Monterey Peninsula and Spyglass Hill.
Spyglass, do they do Poppy, or is it?
No, I think Monterey and Spyglass. Yeah. I could be wrong. I haven't looked, to be honest. But
and is it three rounds and then a cut?
Three rounds cut.
Awesome.
Pro-Am format. So it's going to be awesome. It'll be a lot of fun.
Your partner isn't some movie star, is it?
Not that I know of.
They didn't give you Clint Eastwood?
No Clint Eastwood.
Damn.
As from what I know, I don't think Clint Eastwood's playing with me.
No, it's awesome. The tradition of that tournament. It's going to be, yeah, I mean, definitely one of the cooler tournaments. It is every year. What are you looking forward to the rest of the year? Not just playing better, but are there any tournaments and things that you've got some, I don't know, like circled on the calendar this year?
Yeah, I haven't. That was kind of this week. I was kind of going to look at my schedule and put some stuff down on paper. And what was best about it was I realized how much golf is left. That was the cool part. I noticed that. You got to work hard to find a golf course that you don't like. Yeah, I'm just going to, you know, play when I can and be ready. We're going to have some good weeks.
How do PGA Tour pros always have their shirt so perfectly tucked in? This is a thing.
It's a thing.
Have you ever noticed?
No. Are there's got to be some examples of not good tucking in jobs.
I think it always comes from like John Daly or something like that, so it doesn't count. But you go look at like Ricky Fowler, right? And I don't know if it's because Ricky's shorter and maybe the shirt is just longer, or if they have them custom tailored long so they have all that room to tuck them in perfectly.
I promise you, I never took tuck in lessons.
Never once.
Never took a lesson on tucking in a shirt.
You just pull it off.
Maybe it's the only thing I can really think of is that we've done it a lot.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, a lot.
I didn't know if there was a trick like wear tighter pants, wear looser pants, tighten your belt more. There's pants that have like the little rubber elastic around them in the inside, and that's supposed to grab your shirt. Maybe that's a real thing. It's,
you know, you mentioned Ricky. He wears Puma.
Yep.
I wear Puma.
They have those.
You know, they have that. They've thought of this.
That's it. My shirt's still come untucked. I think my problem is I'm like, I need the width of a medium and the length of a large. So I'm large, and they just don't make that.
I think Ricky doesn't wear that size.
He got away. He's a schmedium.
You could probably get some of Bryson's shirts.
Do you have any course records?
I'm not sure. I know I have the one at Shadowwood still. That's the course I grew up playing.
The nine holer?
The Hickory Hills.
Hickory Hills is the nine hole.
Hickory Hills, I don't know if there is a course record. I think my low round out there is 62 or 3, which I feel like that's probably got a pretty fair chance of being a course record. I don't know of many people that would have played much better. I do know last year I had at least one, had a chance to shoot 59. 60 is a course record.
Yep. Raleigh?
It was Raleigh.
Raleigh, yep.
I feel like I had something else, but I don't know. Probably a handful of course records. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. How do you go low like that? Do you just hit it close and make a bunch of putts, or do you just everything goes in?
That day was I hit it close and made putts, right? Like you can't shoot 60 or 59 for that matter without making putts. I mean, I think probably it was a nice blend of making putts and hitting it close.
Do you think you could, like, does a course record count? Like if you shot and you played the ball down today, right? It's just me and you out there. If you shot 64 today, that wouldn't count, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, we definitely rolled it a little bit and messed around because it's muddy, but I think probably there would be a little bit of an asterisk.
I think, does it have to be a competition round?
The competition round thing's not fair because there's a lot of people that play golf that aren't in tournaments or play tournaments
right,
or have the ability to play in tournaments. So I think, yeah, they should definitely have a chance to shoot the course record.
Do tour pros actually wear metal spikes still?
Some do.
Really?
Some do. Tiger had them on.
Are they the soft spikes with the metal in the middle? Because I've always wanted to try those. Or are they metal?
To be honest, I think a lot of guys will wear, like, they call it like a hybrid. So it's got like a, it's got a somewhat soft spike on the, around the edges, and then it's got like a little tiny spike in the middle. And I don't think it's, I never wore long spikes back in the day, but I think it's a little smaller than a actual, you know, old school long
spike. But it's still supposed to get in the ground.
And apparently they've made them to where they have a little tougher tip. So when you walk on the concrete, it doesn't, you know, spur the tip to make the greens spike up more.
Does that affect the greens a bunch? Like, you know, like, is there a big difference from playing at 7:30 in the morning versus 1:30?
Well, the rule change, right, has been awesome. Be able to tap them down.
It doesn't matter as much, but I guess.
I think the guys that wear the hard spikes, you know, they're pretty respectful that, hey, I'm wearing hard spikes, like, let's tap this down if I make a mistake,
right? Yeah.
And don't walk properly. But they're also good at walking because they have to be.
They're always picking
up
their feet.
It's a little higher, right?
Yeah, you always got to pick up your feet.
So I think that's a, you know, if someone's going to wear hard spikes, like, watch how you're walking. Don't wear hard spikes and drag your feet.
That's what my son does with his, he's got spikes, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst idea ever, giving him spikes. Don't give your kids spikes.
Tennis shoes.
Just tennis shoes
flat,
are fine.
Flat tennis shoes.
So Zurich, are you, because that's a team event, do you know if you're going to be playing in Zurich?
Yes, I am.
Has this conversation already started?
Conversation's happened. I'm going to play with Hedon Lombardy.
No kidding.
I don't know if you can release that.
Oh, I'm going to bleep that part out.
I don't know how that works. I think you probably could. It's me and Lombardy. We're the best.
Well, I'm going to bleep it out. I'm going to bleep that part out. So how do you go about finding a partner? Is it like, do you just wait until it comes up? Or is it something where you're like, no, I competitively want...
I think, you know, they make an app for that.
Grinder? Is that what it is? No. Golfer?
They make an app. No, I think guys just, you know, pair up with their friends and guys that they play a lot of golf with. You know, I think that works out the best. You see the guys at the top of the leaderboard. I know Kevin Kisner and Scott Brown every year. They're right there, right?
Yeah.
And they're great buddies. They play a ton of golf together. They live in the same town. So I think they just kind of know how each one plays golf.
Have you played there before, TPC Louisiana? Because I know they have a tournament on the Corn Ferry, but it wasn't at TPC Louisiana.
No, we were in
Chittimacha.
Chittimacha.
That was just the worst place ever.
In Lafayette, Louisiana.
Lafayette.
Good food.
What, Cajun food?
A lot of Cajun food.
Oh, is there like a, you know, like as far as food goes? So what's your like day of a practice round on Tuesday? What do you do? Do you go to the gym? Do you work out and stretch? Things like that. What's your routine?
Yeah, Monday is travel day, and that's generally a good day to get a good workout in if possible.
Traveling wrecks your body.
Traveling's hard on your body. It adds up. I mean, these last 3 weeks, I think the combination of going to Hawaii, going to Palm Springs, going to Torrey Pines, even though those two are really close to each other, the time change from the East Coast to all the way to Hawaii, the weather in Hawaii being crazy.
It was windy.
Yeah, and then this past weekend being a little crazy as well. So I was tired. I needed this week off, and it's nice to just kind of come home, sleep in your own bed, come around, hang out, have fun, and get away from the actually grinding and
the hustle and bustle of it. Yeah. What if it's like, are you really particular about like your food and all that? Like out on tour? Cause they just have like probably free food. Like, you know, can that get you in trouble? Right. If you just like go to the buffet that the tour provides and whatnot. Yeah,
the tours, they're great with their food. I mean, they try and cater to some healthy options. Right.
Yep.
Cause I think most everybody, I mean, I'm not as, I eat healthy, but there's some guys out there that definitely really, really eat healthy. And so I think the tour knows that, and they cater, and the courses, and they do a great job with the food. So
yeah, I always wondered that.
Easy.
Yeah, I just always wondered. I knew they always have like a spread, but then you got like all these guys that have like their trainer, you know, the multi-million-dollar makers and all that. Like, yeah, they've got food prepped and all that. It's important. I was just thinking this, and the only reason I was thinking is because, you know, as we started doing more events and I started traveling to go to these different events, like let's talk about in 1 week I went to Stream Song and I was in the car for 4 hours to get there. And then 3 days later I'm on a plane to go to Vegas and I play 36 holes and your body does not work. Yeah. So I didn't know if it was like a thing where you get accustomed to it, if, you know, the tour gives you the resources to get your body right.
Yeah, I mean, we've got two fitness trailers on the PGA Tour, which is awesome. It's a great perk. And basically one of them has fitness equipment, workout stuff, you know, weights, cable, machine, treadmills, bikes, stuff like that.
So you can do a good workout.
Yeah, you can do a workout in there, and that's right on site. And then they also have a trailer with some physios and some chiropractors and physical therapists and stuff like that to help you with your, you know, your stretching or whatever needs you have.
So I would be all on those physios.
They're great. They're awesome.
Chiropractor was like one of the greatest things for me. And I don't know if it was actually the chiropractor or the big dude, they called him Bear for a reason. Like, he's the guy that would manhandle you and stretch you out. That, like, I feel like that changed my life. So let's talk about the golf bag, all right? Not like what's in the golf bag for sure, because you've got a couple different drivers you're playing around with. You've got a different set of irons. I think every time I see you, a different putter. I like the putter you're putting with right now, by the way, the old Tuttle. But what's the story? What are you trying to find? I know we've talked about it. The last time we talked about it, you're just trying to get that much better, that much better, that much better. But what is it? You know, because I know you went from Miras to Mizunos to Cobras to Callaways to, you've literally played everything. So at what point do you go, all right, let me just find what I'm going to do? And like, when is that point?
That point's getting closer.
Good.
Equipment is—it's tough because everyone. I mean, golfers, we're all semi-perfectionists, if not perfectionists, and we're always trying to find stuff to improve on. I mean, you can look at anybody, right? Guys that are at the best of their game, you know, sometimes they'll have, you know, moments where they fall back, and it's because they're trying to change something, right?
Right.
And then you have guys like, trying to get to that point. They're trying to figure what's better, you know, can this help me? And at the end of the day, like, switching stuff is not recommended.
I'm trying, golf ball stayed consistent though, right? You've always played the same golf ball.
Golf ball stayed very consistent. I've you know gone between the Pro V1, the black version, 2019, and then the left dot.
Yeah.
Pro V left dot. That's always kind of in the mix. So for some reason, I've just always liked the little lower launching ball, and that's what the Pro V1 does. So.
Yep. So then as far as like when you're looking at a driver, you know, because you're a straight hitter, so obviously, you know, you're trying to find something that you can just maybe hit a little more consistent. I mean, are you just trying to get it to where you're always that much straighter? You know, like, are you trying to improve upon like your greatest asset?
Yeah, I don't know. I hit the ball pretty straight, so I think I'm probably should just keep to what I'm doing. But
no, I like the driver you switched to on the last two holes.
Yeah, I have two drivers right now, just solely because, you know, the weekend at Farmers I couldn't find the fairway, and that wasn't the driver's fault by any means. That's my fault, but I mean, got to blame something, right?
Mentally, it's not you. Yeah, it's not you. I always say when it comes to clubs, though, right? Like when somebody comes in to get fit and they hit a bad shot, and it's because of a combo I gave them or something like that. They'll always be like, that was a bad swing. I'm like, no, it's never your fault when you're in here.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting fit for clubs or whatever. It's always the club's fault because there's all those different combinations. But I feel like you are constantly getting yourself, like you're constantly fitting yourself, which brings me to the last thing I want to talk about, which is a big purchase that you made. It's more than your car that we're sitting in right now, hiding from the wind, which is a Foresight Sports GC Quad. So a launch monitor. Yeah. You've for the first time got, you know, like one of the high level, like, right. TrackMan, you know, I mean, I know you had a flight scope, but you didn't have like the flight scope that would be the equivalent. What is working with GC Quad kind of done for you and kind of opened your eyes to?
I like it a lot. I mean, it's easy to set up. You can take it, put it right next to the golf ball, get all the ball numbers you want. I mean, it's super simple. And then if you want some club data, you have to put some stickers on the ball or the club, line it up, and it gives, you know, the best data club wise because it's actually taking a picture at impact, and I really like the machine. It's great, it's helpful, and I think nowadays, I mean, knowledge and information is power, so just being able to have instant feedback with the machine, be it whatever machine it is, I think it's very helpful, and you know, everybody can use that in their own way, but I think it, you know, having more information is better.
So I always say, like, with GC Quad versus TrackMan, my whole argument is that GC Quad's just easier to set up and get going, and I trust it more because of that.
I think, well, I mean, TrackMans and the flight scopes of the world, they're radar, whereas the Quad is camera-based. So the golf ball tracking with a radar is going to be more accurate than cameras can do.
Right.
But that being said, they're all three very good, right? Like, I picked this one because I thought it was the best, but at the same time, like, the other two are just, they're fine too. Yeah. I just like this one. You can set it up. It's simple. It's super convenient. And for me, it made most sense. So
way easier. No, I had mine for like 3 weeks, and I know you were able to use it. You know, they sent me one to kind of do some things. And, you know, for me, I just actually had more fun with it, like hitting golf balls with the GC Quad over, I mean, TrackMan's great, but I do that every day, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm glad you like got that though. I thought that was a big deal.
No, it's gonna be great. It's a big purchase. I did a lot of research, and I like the unit a lot. It's gonna be very helpful, and just, I mean, I've even warmed up with it. And Torrey last week, I took it, you know, Thursday morning and went and hit shots because it knows the temperature, it knows the pressure, it knows all the elevation, whatever. It just doesn't know wind.
Yeah, that's the toughest part.
I was hitting shots, and let's say I hit a pitching wedge, and it says it goes 130 yards, right? So now I go to the first tee box, and I've got 130 yards, which doesn't happen at Torrey Pines in the South Course on number one. But I could expect that if I had 130 yards, I could, you know, okay, great, I can hit that pitching wedge.
Right.
And this is going to be spot on.
Yeah.
Which gives me confidence, and just something like that is massive, because if I have 130 yards, I'm like, okay, my pitching wedge should go 135. Now I'm like, well, I got to take a little bit off of it, and all of a sudden I hit it short, right?
So yep, yep.
Just something like that could save you a stroke, and on the PGA Tour, one stroke is a lot.
One stroke's a difference. Do you know how many cuts you've missed by one stroke?
Enough.
I mean, it's just by one stroke.
Yeah.
Somebody said something to me, though, once, and you know, they were just talking about golf and golfers, and they were like, players that are always hunting the cut are always going to be around the cut, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. But are you hunting the cut? This is what we'll end on. Are you hunting the cut, or are you going out there and going, I want to win this week?
Yeah, I mean, hunting the cut's not good.
It's not fun, right?
No, it's exhausting, and it's tiring, and it's just no fun because it adds pressure, right? Like, there's way more pressure trying to make a cut than trying to win a golf tournament, right? Like, if you're winning a golf tournament, you're playing good golf. Like, you're doing everything right. If you're trying to make a cut, like, you're not playing your best.
Right.
So you're trying to make something work. So haven't tried to win a golf tournament in a while, so I'd love to start doing that soon. I got some opportunities, so we'll give it a go.
The Brian Golf Show, presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
Now that you're Brian Golf Show family, here's where I need your help. We'll do it after every pod. Shoot me a DM or tweet me what you learned on the show today after listening, and I'll throw you in an exclusive contest for some random Cobra Puma Golf gear. Never know what it could be. 1 month could be a driver. 1 month could be some hats. 1 month could be this, that. But for every 50 entries we get, we'll pick a winner to keep it exclusive. Thank you so much for your support. Now, go tell your friends about the Brian Golf Show. Thanks.